You're listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network, now the largest new media platform on the web and your number one source for after-show entertainment.
From Los Angeles, California, and Maria Menounos, and streaming live thanks to Akamai Technologies, this is AfterBuzz TV Spotlight On. Spotlight On is a long-form interview series featuring actors and TV personalities. And now, from the world's number one TV after-show platform, this is AfterBuzz TV Spotlight On.
Hi, AfterBuzz fans. Thank you very, very much for joining us for another edition of Spotlight On. Joining me today is, oh my gosh, actress extraordinaire, Sharamie Lee. How are you doing today?
I'm doing well. You are so sweet. Thank you so much. No, this is awesome.
Yeah, isn't it? It's a pretty nice studio.
It's amazing.
It's a lot of fun. So, wow, I don't even kind of know where to start. You've been acting for so long.
I have. Yeah.
You started off, like, I believe age six, right?
Yeah.
What
yeah.
was it that prompted you to be like, acting, that's the thing?
Actually, I really wanted to be on Barney. And that was my ultimate goal, was wanting to be an actor so that one day I could sing and dance with a purple dinosaur. And that never occurred. But my path
There's
has
still
taken
time.
A different direction. I know. I think that ship has sailed. I don't know. Maybe I could be a voice of a dinosaur hanging out with Barney. Who knows?
Do they still do that show anymore?
I think so. Wow. That was a big deal in Dallas. And so, I think they still produce the show. I don't see why they wouldn't.
Well, dreams can come true.
I know. Todd Haberkorn got to be on Barney along with a lot of other, very talented voice actors and actors. So maybe
one day.
Yeah.
And I'm sorry, I forgot to introduce myself. I'm Megan Salinas. Thank you guys for joining us tonight. I was just so excited to get started.
Yay. That's awesome.
Well, and you've done lots and lots of different things. You've done stage acting, mm-hmm. voice acting, film, television. Do you have a preference or is it just all so much fun?
I think now that I've gotten to experience a little bit of everything and I've done, you know, improv troupes and stage shows and voiceover work and like all of these different facets and different aspects of acting, if I didn't get to do a little bit of everything all the time, I would really miss something and feel off balance. When I was in Pittsburgh earlier this year working on a film, I was there every day for like a month and it was fantastic and I had a blast, but I remember thinking like, man, can I just get into the booth and do some VO work? Or, like, just 15 minutes. I really miss it.
I gotta get my fix.
Yeah, I've gotten so spoiled doing so many different things and having such great opportunities that I would miss it if one aspect wasn't there.
Well, that being the case, since you have gotten to do a lot and you know, you get to do all these different things, stage and voice acting, do you have a dream project? Like, if there was one thing where you're like, that's like the penultimate goal, what would that be?
Yeah, there are a couple. I mean, I haven't gotten to do any motion capture video games, so that would be amazing and really fun. And I would love to be able to write, like, my own film or write my own series and get to shoot that in either Italy or England or something like
that. That's very specific.
Yeah, no, I want to do, like, a similar to, like, a National Treasure Da Vinci Code where there's a lot of art history or a lot of research, things being uncovered, things that people might – and it might not be true, but if we could take, like, aspects from the Renaissance and kind of delve into it and find, like, hidden – things that might have occurred that maybe people don't know about, that would be one of the coolest things ever. And running from, you know, the government or whoever the bad guys would be, that would be awesome as well, you know.
That actually sounds really awesome. I would watch that TV program.
I'm an art history nerd, so that's where I always go. I had a picture of Mona Lisa as my screensaver on my phone for about 4 years, and people were like, why? I'm like, because I think it's fascinating. I think she's fascinating. I think
have you
so
ever
cool.
gotten to see it in real life?
I have, actually. We
so
traveled
much
to Paris.
Smaller.
It's so tiny. And there's always like a line of like hundreds and hundreds of people. And you're like, I mean, it's on my phone. Please, I just really need to see her. I don't know why I'm so fascinated by art history, but I know there's always like, there's got to be something. I want to find the history or the moment or all the things that happened behind that. And, I don't know what hidden things that they don't say about, you know, the government involvement or something crazy fun like that.
You know
what?
Awesome. Mystery about Mona Lisa.
Yeah.
And just
That would be awesome. Jump off from there. I should do it. Yeah, that would be amazing.
Can I get a credit?
Yes, for sure. Yes, you'll awesome. Be on set. You can come hang out.
Oh, that's awesome. If I get to go to Italy, oh my gosh, that would be awesome.
I know. That's a dream of mine is to get to go to Italy too.
And France. Oh my yeah. gosh, just jump all over Europe.
Oh, totally. Yeah, that Although, would be amazing.
You do get to do a lot of traveling because you hit up the convention scene.
I do, yeah.
Quite a bit.
Definitely.
Is that fun or is it kind of more exhausting? Because it's fun. But it's work.
Yeah, no, it's amazing. It's so fun getting to travel and get to see people that love the shows and get to hear what they think about it. Because when we record it, we're there with two computer screens locked in a padded room. I mean, we don't know what people think unless we want to look online and read the comments. And oftentimes, it's a really dark place to go. So going to the conventions is fantastic. You get to travel all over and see different aspects of the country or just different aspects of the world. And it's interesting to see how regionally what shows people are interested in versus other shows. But yeah, that's a blast. I enjoy it. Yes, it is exhausting just because it's traveling. There's time changes all over the place. But it's far more fun and the fans are so supportive and loving that it far, far exceeds any amount of exhaustion that we might feel.
The pros outweigh the cons.
Yeah, 100%.
That's good to hear.
Yeah.
But that's also got to be really interesting with all those fan interactions, seeing people cosplay the characters
yeah,
that you play.
Yeah, definitely. It's so cool. And people have asked, like, would I ever do cosplay? I'm like, no, because they're so good at it. Like, the pressure is on. I would feel like I would have to be awesome and I would be horrible and not, I mean, you know, they make the costumes and they're so insanely talented. I just want to sit and stare at their costumes all day and meet all the artists that do all the artists. There's like Artist Alley where there will be artists that will do their own versions of the characters or put them on coasters or like these little glass etchings. I mean, it's insane the stuff that they can do. So it's amazing to get to see everybody's talents and how they'll apply it to the characters because they're inspired by the shows, which is so cool to be a part of that.
Yeah, that's got to be really interesting to be like something that I worked on, like
yeah,
inspired someone to create.
It's so cool. It's so cool. And I mean, we're such a small part of it being the voice actors, but it's still you get to be a part of something and it's a really cool, really cool thing. Everybody likes to be a part of a group. And then when you go to a convention, everybody's part of a great big group and everybody's so welcoming and lovely. It's awesome.
And then being a fan of art history, then it's also got to be really cool just to see all
yeah.
the things that are produced and everything like that.
For a while when I would go, and I haven't done it in a while, but I would go to conventions and every time I would walk around the Artist Alley and say, can you draw me in whatever style you, because I want to see how I would fit into their world and their style. And so there was some people that made me a fairy, some people made me like a steampunk princess, some people were doing like a Disney princess, and it was really, really cool just to see how people perceive you and where they think you would fit in their universe of art, which is really fun.
That does sound really
yeah,
awesome.
It was really cool.
So being a voice actress, I know that being a part of the Funimation group in
yeah.
particular, that they are a fun group, that
yeah.
they are kind of pranksters a little
yes,
bit.
Yes, absolutely.
And I know that there's probably an endless supply of stories
yeah.
Just of kind of in-booth prankings and
totally.
Everything like that. Are there any that you want to share? Because I know people ask that all the time.
There's one of my favorites was Brina Palencia, who's also an amazing voice actress and on-camera actress. Her brother, Gino, has a mannequin that he's named Manny. And Manny is dressed up with this awful, like, Hannibal Lecter mask, and he's, like, covered in blood, and he looks like he should belong on The Walking Dead, but it's a mannequin. It's super creepy.
Why would he have that?
I really don't know. Everybody has very unique taste at Funimation, but somebody thought it would be a fantastic idea to put it in a booth and scare one of the actors, and they went down the roster of who was going to be there the next day, and everybody agreed that I would be the easiest target, and I would respond the best, and so they put it in the booth. And I remember walking in, and I was early, and for some reason I didn't turn and walk into the booth front. I did it from the back and like turned on the light and then went out and sat for the director to get there. The engineer walked in. He jumped a little bit, which I thought was odd, but I was like, you know, I'm just going to let it go. I'm not going to make him feel awkward. And then when our director came in, I opened the door again, facing the director, and walked in backwards. And Manny was standing in the back corner with his arms out. And the director, Chris Kaysen, was like, baby, share me. There's something behind you. And so I turned around and I it startled me because it is like a man in the corner. And I was really shocked at how I responded. I just remember being like so startled that I just said, do you want a hug? I love you. And I like went to hug the mannequin that's like covered in blood. And they got really upset with me. The directors, like people came in. They were like, so what'd she do? Did she scream? We didn't hear anything. They were like, she meant to hug it. And everybody looked at me and was like, way to go, Jeremy. And I thought, I'm sorry, you wanted to put me in therapy and now I'm the bad guy for hugging the mannequin?
Like, how are you the bad guy
in
this situation?
Yeah, how is this my fault? But every director came by and they were very frustrated with me. So I remember later I went home and talked to my mom and I'm like, why did I, things that terrified me, I like went to hug it and said I loved it and I don't know why that was the thing. And my grandmother had mentioned that when I was like a baby and I was in a grocery store that she took like a wolf mask around Halloween and put it on her face and I started to cry and said, I love you. Do you want a hug? And I'm like, you did this to me. Now if I,
you've
if there
conditioned
was,
her.
Yeah. If there was a zombie apocalypse, I'd probably be like, you know what? I'm going to go hug everybody. That's going to make it all better.
You know, on the plus side, it sounds like you'd be right at home at like Halloween horror nights.
I know that still terrifies me, but I would probably just hug everyone.
You'd probably make everybody who's there feel good because
or
they're used
feel
to
feel really bad about themselves if they like tried to attack me. And I'd be like, you know what? I'm just trying to give you a hug. And I still like get the response that people would do. I scream and then like want to hug everyone while I'm crying. It's really awkward. So I don't know.
Well, I bet if nothing else, it's surprising.
Yes, absolutely. And it apparently upset all of the directors at Funimation.
Like, oh, dang
They're
it.
They're like, what is wrong with her?
We put all this effort
I know.
Behind this prank.
And she tried to bring joy to a dead, bloody mannequin. My bad.
It's okay. It happens.
I know.
It happens to the best of us.
Exactly.
It's all right.
We all have our quirks.
Well, anyway, you know, as fun as the booth stories are, how are you being at home? Because you started very, very young in this industry.
Yeah, definitely.
And you've been involved in television and more upcoming films and everything like that. Are you more at home kind of as much fun as the booth is? Are you more at home with the physicality that live action brings?
I don't know. I mean, since I've done far more animated and voiceover projects than I probably have films, because a film is much more of an undertaking of time. I mean, there's only so much we can do. We invest no less than a month probably on a project. Whereas for voiceover, I can record 6 to 10 shows at a time, perhaps. So I definitely get more, I guess, projects accomplished. And I've worked in live radio, so I guess being
in front
of a microphone.
DJ.
Yeah, I was a DJ for a while. So I guess I'm actually probably more comfortable and at home in a booth than I am on set, because every set is different. It's kind of like going to a new school every day. So the first day of shooting, you're like,
I'm the new kid.
I hope I make friends. And it's kind of like that for voiceover as well. But there's only so much you can change a studio up. Whereas for a film, you know, you can shoot in Pittsburgh where it's snowy, or you could shoot in Texas where there's a desert everywhere.
You could shoot in Italy.
You could shoot in Italy and chase people that look like Da Vinci. Yeah, so
it's going to be a thing, guys.
It's going to be a thing. People are going to be bringing me pictures of Mona Lisa at a convention. I'll be like, I know where you saw this.
You know what's up.
But yeah, totally. But yeah, I think I probably am more comfortable in a padded box.
And that's fair, because, you know, it's kind of more intimate, too, because it's
Absolutely.
Just a one-on-one.
Yeah.
And you know, knowing that, both for live action and for voiceovers, are there any directors in particular that you haven't gotten the chance to work with where you're like, that's the dream job?
Man, I haven't had a bad director so far. I've been very fortunate as far as that goes. I mean, obviously, on camera, working with, like, great director Steven Spielberg is an amazing, amazing talent. it would be amazing to get to work with any people of that caliber, George Clooney or anybody that have done those really great iconic films that you're like, man, I would really just like to work with them.
We were watching Jurassic Park last night, so I know exactly what you're talking about.
I love Jurassic Park so much. And that is actually a project that if someone was like, do you want to hang out with some dinosaurs and be in a Jurassic Park movie? I'll be like, you know what? I don't care if people think it's a horrible movie like they did with 2 and 3. I'm going to hang out with dinosaurs and Ren and Scream all day and hug them.
They just wrapped 4. Apparently.
I know. I'm so excited about it. I think it's going to be amazing.
I'm conflicted. I'm like, I actually really like 2 as well.
I haven't had an issue with any of them. I just know that most of the critics have not enjoyed 2 and 3, but I just like getting to go back to that universe.
It's dinosaurs.
It's dinosaurs. Thank you. I mean, nothing tops 1 so far.
Yeah, no. It's the best. A wonderful standalone film.
And it's still scary.
Yes.
Which is amazing to me, and I feel like that's a feat. So I don't know. I can't pick a director. I have found that a lot of the directors that have been actors before, every director has a different way of working, but if they've been an actor before, they're like, you know what, I'm gonna spend a little time talking about the scene, and they like to rehearse it. Which is nice. But some directors, when I worked with Richard Linklater, he would tell one actor a secret, like, this is what I want you to do, and then tell the other actor. So whatever they do not, like, there was an actor friend of mine, he was told, whatever you need to do in the scene, she's your girlfriend, you need to hug her, and you need to try to kiss her before you leave. And he's like, you're done with this guy. Don't let him touch you. So, like, the whole scene, we're, like, trying to do the scene, and it's not written in, and he keeps trying to touch me, and I'm like, what is his deal? Like, I was told specifically, don't let him touch me. And so it made for a really awkward scene. But so when directors do stuff like that to surprise the actors and keep us on our toes, it definitely makes for some really interesting moments.
Very authentic.
Yeah,
filmmaking.
Totally. Yeah, it was very fun. So every director likes to do things differently, and I think as an actor you can learn different things and grow in different ways, as long as you're willing to come to work that day and play with whatever happens. I know there's a lot of actors that'll say, you know, I've worked with this director for so long, I just really love working with him, and this other director doesn't really do it the same way. It's like, well, you know, try it differently. See what happens. It's still work. It's still fun. It's still a gift to get to go be an actor that day. So enjoy it and see what happens.
Have you ever wanted to try that? Be the one on the other side of the mic?
That was actually when I was a kid what I thought I would want to do, is be a director. It's so hard when you're an actor and you know, like, you're giving so much and you're excited to, like, show the director and see how they like it. And then when the director's like, yeah, you know, that didn't work. And it's nothing personal. That's just the way it goes. But sometimes it's like, it sucks. And I would have a really hard time being like, for anime in particular, we have to make the lines fit the flaps. And it would be really hard for me to be like, that was such a great performance.
It's hard to let go.
It's just not going to fit. I would be like, the engineer will make it fit. He's magical. He can do it. It was so good. It was so good. I don't want you to have to do it again.
We have magical editing software that can fix anything.
It was in the wrong pitch. It was everything about it just didn't work. But you know what? It's going to be great. We're going to make it happen. I would be that director. Yeah, exactly. So I don't think the film would turn out very well because of that. My husband is a much better director. So I don't know. Maybe at some point if I gained enough confidence and I had no problem being like, you know what, that was not your best, like, but I don't know if I would be able to do that. I don't know, we'll see.
Well, speaking of your husband, you've mentioned that he's a playwright and a director. How is it working with him, because you're working with him on an upcoming project as well? You guys worked together before? Or
that is actually how we met in college in a directing class. And so we had to direct everybody in scenes, and then he was directing a play, kind of like, I guess, for a thesis project. And I auditioned to be in the show. He was like, you should audition for the show, and he wanted me to play a certain character. And I remember thinking, this guy doesn't know me at all. Like, that is not the character that I would want to play. So I went in and I auditioned for a couple characters, and I got cast. So that's how we met, was him being a director, and he actually asked me out when the show opened, because he didn't want to be the director that was dating one of the actors. So that was very professional, I suppose. But yeah, I've worked with him before. It's no big deal. I guess there are some times, where he'll tell other actors, he'll be like, you know what, that was really great. And I guess with me, he's like, she knows that I like her. We're married. Like, I don't need to tell her that she did a great job. I don't want people to think that I'm, like, favoring her. So there will be some times where, because I think he's directed me in, like, 3 shows or 4 shows now, that I'll be like, so am I doing an okay job? You're not saying anything. And he's like, if I'm not saying, share me. Change this. It's fine. I'm like, okay. All right.
No news is good news.
Yeah, exactly. But no, it'll be fun to get to work on this this new project. It's called Happy New Year, and it's a murder mystery. So we'll be doing that around the holidays in LA. So there's I think 6 alternate endings. So we could have a different ending every night. It's exactly like Clue. And every character is a different holiday. You got to figure out which holiday tried to kill New Year's Eve.
That's awesome.
So I'll be playing Halloween, which I know, especially as like an anime person or an actor in general, you would think I would love Halloween, but Halloween just, I feel like, is so much pressure. Like, to get a great costume and get everything together, you're like, I'm an actor. Like, I should own this holiday. And I'm like, oh, I just can't. It's so stressful. And I always wait till the last minute. So long story short, Halloween is probably my least favorite holiday just because it brings me so much anxiety. So that will be who I'm playing in the show, which should be interesting. So
that sounds like so much fun. Yeah, I'm a huge murder mystery
You'll
fan.
Have to come and like hang out because you guys get to, I mean, I think ultimately the audience gets to vote on who they think, committed the murder. And
so it's an interactive murder mystery.
It's a very interactive murder mystery.
You know, one of the it was I think the first film adaptation of Agatha Christie's and then there were none. They actually had like a minute long break for the audience to try to figure out who done it. You know, and everybody who's read the book is like, well, we know. Done it.
Well, but you know, you can change it up. I guess.
They actually did change it up.
That's awesome.
They made it a far happier ending.
Okay. All right. But, well, that sounds good.
So, yeah, I guess you keep your audience guessing.
Yeah, totally.
But no, that sounds awesome because actually my two favorite episodes from Sword Art Online was the murder mystery two-parter.
Yes, me too. I love those episodes. I love those kind of – that was an anime that I worked on, Ghost Hunt, where each episode was like its own kind of – murder mystery.
Like, you got to solve a ghost the mystery. You have to,
that was like so much fun for me. I was like, oh, let's Nancy Drew this. Come on, all day long. This is amazing. So
basically what you're saying for your dream project in Europe, Italy, there's a mystery.
There's a mystery. We got to solve it.
I love it.
It's going to be amazing.
I can't wait.
I hope.
Well, it does sound really awesome.
Yeah, so that'd be fun.
It sounds like a lot of fun. Do you like going back to the stage or is that kind of a little bit intimidating too since you're more comfortable in the booth?
Actually, I have had the least experience working on stage. I only started doing theater when I was like 12 because they didn't have film or voiceover in middle school and high school. I mean, we barely had theater. So I got into doing theater that way and then did theater stuff in college and did my first musical in college. So it'll be fun. I think it's really difficult to invest in the schedule required for a play. Oftentimes plays don't pay as much as film or TV or things like that. A lot of times, especially independent theater, you're doing it because you love it and you love to work with the people, which is great. I love being an actor. It doesn't matter.
And as long as I can, is the play.
Yeah. As long as I can, you know, pay my bills and stay out of the cardboard box, like, I'll do whatever. I just love to work. So it's hard to commit to the schedule from rehearsal to the however many 6 weekends that you're working on because I can't go to any conventions during that time frame or I won't be able to work on a film during that time frame. So that's definitely the hard part is the commitment of time. But for this show, my husband was like, you know, I wrote this show for you. I wrote this role for you, so you have to do it. And
absolutely no pressure.
Yeah, no, like, no pressure at all. And we were actually talking about it today because he was like, "I'm not gonna go easy on you. Like, this role is gonna challenge you. There's gonna be aspects about it that you are absolutely gonna hate." And I'm like, "This is torture, isn't it? You're gonna torture
Thanks.
Me." Yeah. So it'll be fun though. I'm gonna enjoy doing something that I'm not used to doing, which will be good.
Well, that's good. Well, yeah. Again, because you've done so many things and you've played all these different types of characters, and we talked a little bit earlier in the Sword Art Online panel that you play a lot of characters who have a lot of integrity.
Yeah.
And having played all these different characters, I know it's impossible to pick a favorite.
Yes.
Because it's like picking children.
It absolutely is.
But is there any character where you feel like you really put most of yourself into?
I feel like there's certainly an aspect of me in every character that I've played, because I don't think that I would be able to find an authentic self in the character. And ultimately, if people say, like, I don't think that you're anything like this character, if I can't find a common thread, I probably won't get cast as the character, because it's not going to come across as being an honest portrayal. I think probably because I've played Lucy on Fairy Tail for so long, although in the beginning I didn't audition for that character. I auditioned for Urza and Happy and was like, well, I'm not getting cast in this show. There's nothing for me. And I really liked the show, so there was a lot of pressure. And the director said, get back in there and read for Lucy. I was like, don't do this to me. Like, I love this show. Don't make me read for her. She's so fun. And then now that we've done so many episodes, I definitely relate to her, and it's just so easy to jump back into her. And I mean, I really enjoyed playing Gage in Borderlands 2. I have never been like a mad scientist girl. I'm actually not that great at science. But just the fact that she likes to have fun and be crazy, kind of like Patty, it's nice to be able to find something that you hold similar to the character, or like a tie that you have. And then the other crazy aspects that come as the character, like in Soul Eater when I played Patty, she was completely uninhibited. And
she's adorable.
She's so much fun, and I love her. And it was really freeing to get to go play a character that honestly didn't care what people thought. And I had to take that aspect of my personality that's super aware of, like, oh, what do people think? If I do that, everybody's going to think I'm a nut. Like, who cares? People are going to think what they're going to think. And if they don't want to be friends with you, or they don't want to talk to you because of it, that's their business. So that was nice to get to play a character and kind of get out of my high school super insecure self and say, like, you know what? She's fun, and she loves who she is. And if she can do that, then why am I only able to be uninhibited behind the guise of her? So it's nice when the characters that you're playing help you find something else about yourself that you weren't so comfortable with, and kind of push you to go beyond that concern or whatever.
Well, that's good. That's actually my next question. Yeah. Is how which role has been kind of the most challenging for you? Is it something where, more like Strike Witches, where you had to do a lot of research about World War II, or is it something more like Patty, where you kind of have to kind of get out of your own personal kind of, you know, you have to break out of your shell?
Yeah.
Or would it be something like Borderlands, where you didn't have a previous template and you got to play
right.
a little bit
That's
more.
Actually so fun. And in Borderlands, when Anthony created that universe, and he was the kind of a writer that said, improvise as much as you can, fill in the blanks, this is a skeleton. It's like, dude, you are unleashing me. What have you done? This is awesome. But I think probably the most challenging characters, even for me now, is I had grown up always being like the cute girl, or like the little sister. And so then when I get cast in characters that are like more sexy characters and more seductive, and they're like the crazy Jessica Rabbit kind of villain characters, that is terrifying to me. I hate it. And I am the most immature person ever in the booth, because I'm like, if I make enough jokes, then they totally won't make this awkward. But in anime, of course, there's fan service. So sometimes those moments have to happen, and you're just like, I'm in a box. There's a window. People are staring at me. This is awesome. I'm a panda at the zoo. This is so uncomfortable. So it would probably be all of the sexier characters that I just like, I hate it so, so much. But I've had a lot of directors that are like, you can do this. I'm like, can I? Like, can I do it happily? No. But I know that if a director believes in me enough to say, like, you can do this, and you are, you know, limiting yourself, and we're not going to let you do it, then I'm like, this director is investing so much in me, and they really believe in me. Like, I can't let them down. And I'm going to do the best that I can. I'm going to suck it up. I'm going to deal with it. But it is so awkward for me.
Well, especially if there are multiple people, like, staring at you.
Oh, absolutely. As you do it. It's so uncomfortable. But, like, the research stuff, that's my favorite. I mean, when they told me about Strike, which is all the stuff, and they're like, yeah, it's related to all of the, all the pilots, and each unit, each Striker unit is comparable to the planes. I'm like, this is the coolest thing ever. I get to do homework. I love it. Like, I loved school. I loved getting to do research. That's why there would probably be a huge research sequence in my, you know, overseas Nancy Drew. They like go to my favorite.
They go to a library.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Man, I love libraries. People are going to be like, wow, you are such a nerd. Yes. Yes, I am.
It's okay, especially if there's a mystery to solve.
Absolutely.
You have to do your homework.
And why is everything done over our computer now? I mean, Google is awesome, but, like, let's go to a library and crack open some books. Like, that's where the magic is.
Let's do it old school.
Absolutely.
So what of all the things that you've had to research, what's probably been the most fascinating thing that you've found while researching character or researching for a role?
I don't even know. I mean, most of the time, with the exception of Strike, which is when they would tell us stuff like that, and we would get to look up things. Most of the time when I'm doing a film or a show or something like that, I'm researching, like, the human condition. And I'm like, I know I played a character that was, like, very suicidal and was dealing with a lot of issues, and she was a drug addict. And so I'm like, well, I've never been addicted to any sort of substance. So I need to talk to somebody and figure out, you know, what that's like. I mean, I've been around people that have been addicted to stuff, so I know what it's like to be, like, around people that are alcoholics or something like that. But what is it like when you know what it can do to you? What keeps you in that headspace? Or, you know, I played a character that killed someone. I'm like, well, what has to get you to that point where you would snap? So that's been kind of the fascinating part about researching things like that, where you start, like, looking into things and saying, well, why would this person do this? Well, this is what happened in history with this person. And I totally understand. And so that's kind of a weird headspace to be in when you have to – I always say, like, as an actor, you have to be empathetic and you have to be willing to step into someone else's headspace without judging them. And you have to love them for where they are, even if they're a mass murderer. They have things about them that are really great, and they might love art, or they might love singing, or they might love playing the piano. And I don't feel like any person ever does anything just because, like, nobody does anything horrible because they're like, you know what? I feel like really destroying a lot of people's lives today. I feel like that's going to be great.
It's just wake up on the wrong side of the bed one morning. You're like, that's the way to go.
I'm gonna kill people. I think it's normally because people are pushed to a certain point and they're like, you know what? I have had this experience, or my mom was brutally murdered, or whatever the case may be, that they're like, I want someone to feel how I feel. And this person just really pushed me over the edge. So finding that, like, that rabbit trail of what got you to that point is really, that's really fun for me to get to find out what got them to the places that they're in.
And it makes for a better performance.
Absolutely.
Too, because it's more well-rounded. It's not just a two-dimensional character.
Absolutely. Definitely.
Well, talking about kind of interesting experiences, the upcoming film that you have on, coming on was part of a show called The Chair.
Yeah.
Correct?
Yeah.
What was it? It sounded, when I heard about it, it just sounded so meta, because it's a show about a movie and everything
it's,
like that.
It's two directors that will be making two movies from the same source material. So they were given one script, and then they gave it to both directors and said, like, how would you make this movie? You can change stuff. So scenes were added, scenes were taken away, some characters were changed. And yet, it's interesting because when I've seen both trailers, I'm like, this is so crazy. And I'll ask, like, was that in the original script? And they're like, no. Both directors ended up taking some similar scenes that were never in the original script. And some aspects are completely different. So I'm really excited to see how the reality series plays out, because it's from them changing the script and then them casting and all of the issues that can come across from behind the scenes. So it's not going to really be that much about the actors as much as it's going to be about the directors and about the process and all of that. And so it's from the same group of people that did Project Greenlight. So now they're kind of trying to do a little bit different of a series, but still keeping the whole process of movie making magical, which is awesome, because it is. It's so exciting. And so people will say, like, so did you guys try to stage anything? I'm like, no, it's a movie. Stuff happens every day. People are late, or scenes get scrapped, or there's a blizzard. I mean, we're in Pittsburgh in February. There's blizzards that happen when they shouldn't, or we're supposed to have tons of snow and we don't, or it's freezing and the camera is like not working. I mean, stuff like that happens all the time. There's no need to stage anything. And that was my first time working on a comedy. So that was a blast. So we're doing night shoots at like 4:30 in the morning, having so much fun.
When people are just loopy.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Super loopy. And the director, I was on Shane Dawson's film. And he is such an insanely talented, intelligent director. And it was crazy because he's an actor with me. And so I thought, well, this is going to be really hard. It's his first film that he's going to be directing, and he's starring in it. And how is he going to be able to talk with the producers? And then is he just going to jump in and we're going to start doing the scene? But he was fantastic about, I never felt, like, oh, I'm the third wheel here, just hanging out. I'm in the scene with him, but I don't need to be involved in this conversation. So he kept me involved with every aspect of what was happening, and the producers were great, and everybody was super supportive, and it was a fantastic environment. And we had so much fun. I mean, we were in Pittsburgh for a month, and it's snowy, and I'm from Texas, so I really enjoyed all that snow. It was great.
I've lived in California my whole life, so I'm like, snow, what is this? Tell me more about it.
It was really weird, and they were so great and gave me a rental car, so I was able to drive around, and on the first day there, they're like, here's your keys, and I'm like, oh gosh, this is so terrifying.
Oh no.
They're like, here's the keys, watch out for black ice. I was like, I'm sorry, how do you watch out for that? It's like 8 p.m., so it's pitch black. I don't know where I'm going. And I've never been in Pittsburgh, much less driven in Pittsburgh. I have no guidance for anything. They're like, you're gonna get to this freeway, and you know, when you have no idea what the freeway looks like or how you're gonna get there, I'm like, oh, this is fantastic. I'm gonna die before the first day of shooting.
No.
Like, I have no idea where I'm going. But by the end of it, I had family that was in Pittsburgh, or a little bit outside of Pittsburgh, and they were like, you're just like driving around all the time. I was like, yeah, it's great. I'm like, let's go back to Pittsburgh. I'll be like, this is where I hung out. This is my home away from home. So no, it was so much fun.
That's good. So no incidents with black
ice. No incidents. I mean, it was a little, at one point there was a blizzard and I was like, okay, this is actually very terrifying. Like, I cannot see the road in front of me and it's pitch black and I'm going down a windy road. This is horrifying. But I made it there okay. I also was going to work and had to go up a hill and noticed that my car just started to slide right back down.
No.
And there were people behind me, and I'm like in my car going, okay, I'm dying. This is it. This is the moment. Okay, great. Awesome. Well, this has been fun.
Well, it's very interesting. I did not see it ending this way.
Yeah. Awesome. I'm shooting a film, so I don't know how they're going to get through the film, because I'm in a lot of the scenes and suddenly I'm just dead halfway through the movie. Weird.
That's frustrating.
Yeah, it was. They're going to lose so much money because of my death. This is not good.
I feel terrible.
Yeah. But, and then my thought was like, oh my gosh, and they rented this car for me, and the car is going to be totaled. What am I going to do?
I hope they have a good insurance
policy. Totally. But it all worked out, and I was able to get out of there and not crash the car. So the car did not have no scratches, no nothing, which I was amazed with all the ice and all the craziness. So I guess I'm a decent snow driver. I don't know if that's even a term.
But. Well, as somebody from California, you sound like a superhero right now. Like, you drove through the snow?
You drove through snow? Through a blizzard? Yeah.
That's
no,
crazy.
It was awesome. In my little Hyundai.
Have you gotten a chance to see the finished product of the film, or are they still cutting it together?
I have. I've seen a rough cut that they did for like a audience screening to see what they thought about the film. And I know that they've edited it. edited it a little more, and there was some picture montages and things like that that we hadn't gotten all the pictures together, so I haven't seen all of those yet, and I haven't seen the final cut, but I know it is done, I'm sure it's going to be a fun movie. It's like an American Pie sort of Mean Girls-esque, really broad teen comedy. And so it was very fun to shoot. It's unlike anything that I've done before. And it was a blast.
So since we're running out of time, where can people find the television series that yes. is based around this film? And then when can they see the finished product of the film?
Definitely. The Chair will be airing on Stars, I believe, September 6th. And I don't think that they've announced a release date for the film yet, but you can definitely watch the trailer online. It's the Not Cool trailer. And then there's a scene with me and a watermelon and some craziness in a grocery store.
It's become a GIF.
It has. It's so weird. I had somebody send me a message, and they're like, "You're on Reddit today." I'm like, "That's terrifying. Why? Why am I on Reddit today? What happened?" So yeah, that was awesome. And then I told Shane, he was like, "Oh my gosh, we are the internet right now." I'm like, yeah, you know,
you've made it big when you're a GIF.
Yeah, I guess. Or like people are like, "I don't think this is you because I don't think you would ever do something like this. But like this girl looks so much like you." Like, that's my evil twin.
We found your doppelganger.
Yeah, totally. It's her. It's me with red hair. So that was the other thing is my hair is usually much lighter than this, my natural hair color. And then they dyed it like this dark burgundy red, which was awesome. And so now I was like, well, let's just do my hair a little darker brown. We'll see how that goes.
We'll see what happens.
Yeah, you know.
Well, what other upcoming projects? I know you got the play coming up pretty soon, which I'm now super jazzed
about. Happy New Year. And we're going to be doing that around the holiday season. So I'll definitely post some stuff on my Twitter and my Facebook and all of that. And then I shot a film, I think, 4 or 5 years ago, called Beyond the Farthest Star. And I think that's going to be coming out later this year. I don't know what the distribution, like what all is happening, or if it's going to be like a limited release or, on demand, or how all of that's working. But I think they're getting all of that finalized. But that is a faith-based film, but it's not your traditional faith-based film. There's a lot going on. It's a little more realistic and a little darker depiction of some things that happen in families, which was a fantastic experience, and I was really excited to work on that. And then I did an animated film with Sean Astin and Tim Curry that will be coming out later this year as well. I know it's starting to be released September 4th, and then it's got some various release dates depending on where in the world it's releasing, I guess.
It's called Ribbit, right?
Ribbit, yes.
And can you tell us what that's about?
It is a frog. It's about a frog with an identity crisis. So it's the frog kind of finding out who he is and who his friends are and what he wants to be in his life, which is kind of fun. And I'm his flying squirrel companion named Sandy, which was an amazing experience.
It sounds like a lot of fun.
Yeah, it's going to be a fun movie. So there's like the crazy teen comedy and then the dark faith-based drama and then the fun family film. So we'll see. It'll be
fun. In the anime world, what all is coming up?
I will be working on Sailor Moon.
What's that?
It's this show. Apparently it's like a big deal. That was actually my first introduction to the world of anime. Until I started working in anime, I thought all anime was Sailor Moon, Pokemon, and Dragon Ball Z. So I was like, oh, there's more shows. This is so weird. So to get to be working on Sailor Moon, in any capacity. I mean, I would have been like girl with hair bow in background and would have been absolutely ecstatic. But I'm playing Sailor Venus, which I think is going to be another one of those roles where I'm like, this is totally me. Like, she's a girly girl, but she's silly, but she's, you know, sassy. And, you know, she's not afraid to put some people in their place when needed. So
yeah. I'll be honest. Awesome. She was my favorite growing up.
She's my favorite. That and like I loved little Chibi Moon. That was my other one that I thought was adorable. But yeah, I love how, I think how well-rounded and, multifaceted Sailor Venus is as a character. You just can't peg her down for one thing, which is really fun.
So. Yeah.
And, then I've got some other, anime shows that we're still working on Fairy Tail, which is great. And then I've got a couple other projects that I don't know if I'm allowed to talk about, so I just won't for
that's
fear
okay.
That yeah. I'll be decapitated, like, on the show if I say anything. Like, we don't want to go there.
Someone will flip a switch somewhere, yeah. They know.
It'll be terrifying.
Well, anyway, again, thank you so, so
Absolutely.
Much for coming on.
Thank you
for
having me.
Where can people go if they want to find out more about you?
I am on Twitter, at ShareMeLee. I am on Instagram, and it's CLK Star, as I love stars. And I'm on Facebook, and it's just ShareMeLee. So,
well, yeah. Awesome. Go to Facebook, go to Twitter,
yeah,
like that.
Totally.
And I'm Megan. You can follow me on Twitter at TheMenguin. That's TheMenguin. Thank you so much
for
coming down. I had
this
so much
awesome.
Fun getting to talk
me
to you.
Me too. This is a blast.
Well, yes. And thank you guys for tuning in so much. We will see you guys next time.
Thank you.
Bye.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later!
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.